Nehemiah chapter 3, the book of Nehemiah chapter number 3. We've been studying through the book of Nehemiah together. It's been a great blessing to me personally and for the vision that the Lord's laid on my heart. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Nehemiah chapter 3, we'll be giving the last point both this morning and tonight of the message we began last week out of Nehemiah chapter 3 on the work of God. The work of God. Just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 1, and pray together and dive right into it. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. I ask that you help us now to preach with clarity, understanding, and compassion. May the will of God be done, and may you help me as I stand in need of your help. I cannot do this without you. I realize that. I know that. And I confess that before you and before these dear people. Make it worth their time coming by speaking to their heart. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done here. If somebody's under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ, may you make yourself so real to them that they know exactly what they need to do and help them to trust you before it's too late. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Maiah. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananel. Now, last week I began a message entitled The Work of God. And we got through two of the three points. Let me just go back and review with you just a moment. At first glance, this reading of chapter 3 seems like it's monotonous. And it's only time consuming, so it seems. But I've got to understand with you that as I studied this chapter, this chapter is absolutely packed full of practical helps for the work of God. As a matter of fact, this is our third message already in this chapter. And what at one time I thought would only take one service is going to end up taking four, including today and tonight. Now, as we begin to look at this chapter together, it's important that we remember that this good work, now keep in mind, the work we're talking about is the ruined walls of the city of Jerusalem. This good work is truly the work of God because it is the will of God for Nehemiah and these people at this time. And understand, any work that God gives you to do is a good work and is truly the work of God. Now, this being the case, if you're reminded that Nehemiah said in chapter 2, verse 12, he said, "What my God had put in my heart at Jerusalem." Now, this tells us that what's happening as we come to chapter 3 is truly God's work. It's not man's work, it's the work of God. Now, this being the case, there's several things that we're looking at. We looked at two of them last week. We're going to look at the third one beginning this morning, concluding tonight. That things that summarize the work of God today, such as, now what I mean by the work of God is anything that pleases God, anything that God has for you to do. Now, I'm likening it here in this church to the work of world evangelism, to the work of telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand that you can apply this to your individual life. Whatever God's given your family to do, that's God's work. Whatever God's given you as an individual to do, that's the work of God, the will of God. So apply these same things to that. But for our purpose in this church, I'm applying it to you getting up and sharing your faith with the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Now, last week we noticed two things. First of all, in verse 1, we saw the purpose of the work. The purpose of the work is found in the word sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. And it's so important. Now, if you missed the message, you can go back last week and get it. Let me just tap it on the head here. It's so important to understand that the reason you should get involved in the work of God is because it is for the glory of God when you get involved. You should do it for Him, not for you. In other words, some people never get involved in the work of the church. Some people never work on marriage problems. Some people never do what God wants them to do because they're in it for themselves instead of for the Lord God of heaven. And I'm telling you, when you get your purpose straight in life, that the reason we ought to do something for God and do what God wants here and what God wants there, the main reason we do that and the purpose for that is for God's glory. Are you listening? When God is the goal and God's glory is the reason you do it, you'll never quit. You'll never quit if God is top priority in your life.
But you show me somebody who quits on marriage. You show me somebody who quits in soul winning. You show me somebody who quits in church attendance. And I'll show you somebody whose purpose is not God. Their purpose is self. No doubt about it. Secondly, we looked at last Sunday night, we looked at the pictures in the work of God. If you'll notice, there's 10 separate gates and towers mentioned. I'm not going to go back over this, but let me just summarize what we looked at. It starts with the sheep gate, and we looked at this, that there is no work of God without the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. On top of that, you go to the fish gate. That means God wants you to be a soul winner. But remember the old gate and do not turn away from the old paths. Remember the valley gate, that there are ups and downs in the Christian life. Remember the dung gate, that God wants you to live a clean life. He wants the filth out of your life. Remember the fountain gate, that God wants to control your life and be what He wants you to be through you. Remember the water gate, that's a picture of the Word of God, and that you've got to have the Word of God running freely in you. Remember the horse gate, that there are battles. But remember the east gate, that Jesus Christ is coming to earth again. And keep in mind the Mifkad gate. This is all last Sunday night. You say, what are you preaching about? Go back and get it last Sunday night. I went in detail. But the Mifkad gate was a picture of the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. Then we looked at the towers together and how they summarize the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that He wants us to do. Now, for our purpose today, if I can catch my breath, for our purpose today, I want to notice the principles for the work of God. We've noticed the purpose of it, the work of God, the picture in it, and now the principles for it. Now, I want to give you some things here. As we read this third chapter, we come to the place where the people have begun to work on the broken down wall. Now, in my study, there are many, many principles for the work of God that we see brought out for our learning in this chapter. Matter of fact, I see 10 of them. I'm going to give you 5 this morning, 5 tonight, God willing. Now, these principles are to be an encouragement and a challenge to all of God's children in the work of God, such as evangelizing our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth for this church. In your life, it could be your marriage. In your life, it's your personal walk with God. Apply it to whatever work God has given you to do. But I'm going to apply it here to world evangelism and apply it here in this church to people getting up and sharing their faith about the Lord Jesus Christ. Principle number one. Here we go. All of God's children can get involved. Every last one of them. Now in this chapter, chapter 3, it's very interesting to note the different types of people who are involved in this work. As a matter of fact, there were over 30 individuals mentioned by name. There were around 15 groups of people mentioned by name. And there were at least 7 different vocations mentioned by name, such as priest in verse 1, 17 and 22, goldsmiths in verse 32, merchants in verse 32, temple servants in verses 26 and 31, a gatekeeper in verse 29, apothecaries in verse 8, and rulers in verse 9, 12, 14 through 19. Now, along with this, we see that the Lord used a specific man by the name of Malchijah. Now, Malchijah was one who helped build the wall, but yet in Ezra chapter 10, we see that Malchijah was one of the priests who married a foreign wife and was therefore in sin. However, the Lord, get this, he is now serving the Lord and using his ability for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, in his amazing grace, has specifically mentioned a priest who was in sin in Ezra chapter 10. But because of his amazing grace, he's using him to help build the wall in Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that this goes to show that not only the priests were involved in this work, but the common lay people got involved. They each got involved and did what they could for the work of God. The Lord used people from a wide variety of backgrounds. Like I told you, goldsmiths, priests, temple servants, you name it, He used it and He used them, including Malchijah right here who had sinned against Him. Get this, He used all kinds of jobs, all kinds of locations, were willing to come together and get this work done. As a matter of fact, this work was too big for one man. This work of building the walls around Jerusalem, one man couldn't do that work. It was too big for one man. It would take a number of people to accomplish it. It was truly an honor, get this, to be one of these whom the Lord used in this wonderful way. No doubt about it. And in the same way, get this, God wants to use you in His great work that is too big for one person to do. Now, let me say something. One person cannot evangelize Johnson City. One person cannot evangelize the Tri-Cities. It's bigger than one person. What is God telling us? God is saying that no matter if you are a Malkajah who's out of God's will right now, if you'll get your heart right, He'll use you. He's saying no matter if you're a goldsmith, no matter if you're an apothecary, no matter if you're a temple servant, no matter if you're, look here, a construction worker, no matter if you're an athlete, no matter if you're a student, no matter if you're a teacher, no matter what you are, God wants to use you in His work. He does. He wants to use you to do something for the glory of God. There is a place on the wall for every single one of God's children. Every single one of them. Every one of them. God has a place for you. He has a will for your life. And even if you've sinned against the Lord and gotten away from Him and away from His will for your life, He still wants to use you in this great work if you'll let Him. Come to Him and let Him use you for this great work. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What's he saying here? He's saying, whatever I have gifted you to do, use it for my glory. Whatever I've given you the gifts to do, I've given you those gifts to help reach somebody else. For instance, I could play a little bit of ball in my life. Can't do it much anymore, I don't think. 32, I feel like 82, you know what I mean? I feel pretty good. But God blessed me in the area of athletics. I give Him all the praise. I realize that wasn't me, that was Him, and I know that. So therefore, God's been challenging my heart. Jody, I gifted you in athletics. What are you going to do with it? So He's laid something on my heart to have a baseball camp. And He's laid some of you on my heart. By the way, if you played college baseball, come see me. Or if it's interesting to you, come see me. And I've already contacted the man at the Ruitan. He told me just to let him know ahead of time. And if it's on a Saturday, he's supposed to cancel all the games so we can have it. You tell me God's not in it? And what we're going to do, we're going to come together, God willing. And we're going to use our athletic ability to train the next generation. But yet they know when they come that they're going to hear me preach when they come. And they're going to see me swing a bat. Might make them laugh. They're going to see me swing a bat. And the fact of the matter is I'm going to try to teach them what God gifted me to do. And while I'm doing that, then we're going to set them down and try to reach them with the gospel. We've already tried this one year at Daniel Boone High School and had several young people trust Christ as their Savior. What am I saying? I'm saying that's something He's gifted me to do. But I'm not the only one that has gifts. You have gifts. You say, Jody, I'm good with my hands. Then use that for the glory of God. God can use that. Take a mission trip. Build a church for one of our missionaries. You say, Jody, what in the world are you talking? I'm saying God gifted you not to sit and not to make money. That's a byproduct. He gifted you so you can help reach a lost and dying world. Are you doing it? There's a place for all of God's children. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The progress through those verses there is that He gave those love gifts to the church so they would perfect the saints. In other words, train them, help them to learn so they would go out for the work of the ministry. They would do the work of the ministry along with the leaders, and then the body of Christ would be built up and edified and added to. That's the way of God, folks. That's God's way. God has saved you for a purpose. D.L. Moody said this, "A great many people have got a false idea about the church. They've got an idea that the church is a place to rest in, to get into a nicely cushioned pew and to contribute to the charities, listen to the minister and do their share to keep the church out of bankruptcy is all they want. The idea of work for them, actually work in the church, never enters their mind. D.L. Moody. Let me make this statement before I go further. If I'm speaking to somebody who comes to church and you never do anything for God, we are thrilled to have you here. I'm glad you're here. So don't think I'm attacking you. I don't believe in that. I believe in letting the Word of God speak, and if the Word of God cuts, then let the Word of God do that, not me. But I am saying this to you lovingly. If you do not get involved in the work of God, somebody somewhere is going to go to hell because you didn't do anything. You say, well, that doesn't bother me. Then you've got major problems. Amen. There's somebody in this life that God wants you to reach. He wants you to reach them. He's given you that part of the wall. And he says, this is for you. I want you to get involved. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? Oh, I hope you mean it. What a beautiful picture this is of all God's people coming together. This is just principle number one. Using their gifts and talents. All these people coming together as apothecaries, water carriers, all of them coming together for a common purpose, the glory of God. What a beautiful picture this is. Using their talents for a common purpose to do a work for God's glory. There's no place, get this, there's no place in God's work for the non-worker. No place in God's work. I didn't say there's no place in God's family. I said there's no place in God's work for the non-worker. Principle number one, all God's children get involved. Number two, leaders must set the example. Look at verse number one. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. Well, what a principle this is. If you'll notice how the first name mentioned who worked on the wall was Elisha. Who was he? Tells you right after his name. He was the high priest, along with his brethren, the priest. It's important to remember how the Lord's reputation and character was at stake. Remember this? This was under the purpose last Sunday morning, just talking to you about the purpose of the work. The reason they needed to get up and do something is because Jerusalem was God's city and the world knew it. So if it lie in ruins, it lay in ruins, then it was telling the world that God's not powerful enough to keep his own city up. His character was at stake. His reputation was at stake. Therefore, if anybody should take this work seriously, it ought to be the leaders. Amen. It ought to be the leaders. And I think it's very interesting. Listen, there is nothing that happens in the Word of God by coincidence. There's a reason God inspired for Elisha's name to be used first. There's a reason for that. And I personally believe what that reason is that how could he expect the lay people to get involved if the leader himself would not do it? Are you listening to me? I need to do more. I need to shake the bushes more. I need to knock on more doors. I need to surrender more of my life. I must do what I'm preaching. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a preacher to tell you to do something he's not willing to do himself. Amen. And I'm telling you something, God's working in my heart. And what I'm trying to tell you here is that even though the high priest was in a dignified office, he was dressed in a sacred outfit back in this day. He did not hesitate to help build the walls. The priests were in exalted positions. However, they did not let their position keep them from their duty of building the walls for the glory of God. By the way, it was important for the others to see the leaders working on the wall. This would encourage them to work and not discourage their efforts. And in the same way, I am calling upon every person, but in the same way, in the work of God, especially in this church, I am calling on all leaders. I'm calling on the Sunday school workers, bus workers, ushers, deacons, choir members, nursery workers, staff members. Get up, do something for God. Get busy working. Arise up and say, I will build my part of the wall. Because folks, if you lead somebody, then lead. Lead them. Don't drive them. Don't push them. Lead them. Get out in front of them and say, come on, let's do this. Can you tell I'm passionate about what I'm preaching about? This means something to me. There's a lost world out there. There's a dying world out there. And somebody in this pew can reach them if they'll get up and do something for God. The leaders must be involved. They must set the example. They must do it. What I'm saying is a leader can never lead beyond what he or she does themselves. They can say it, but they can't lead it. You can't lead beyond what you're doing. Hey, what's it mean to lead? It means to be out in front. You can't be out in front of somebody you're behind. Lead. Do something for God. Somebody's sitting there right now saying, Jody, I can't do a thing. Wrong. Matter of fact, right. You can't do anything. But your God can through you if you let him. Amen. I am convinced that the devil, I know this, the devil's the father of lies, but I'm convinced that one of the major lies he sells to Christians is, you can't do that. You don't have any gifts for that. Let the preacher do it. It's what you pay him for, isn't it? What am I saying? I'm saying everybody needs to see their part. See your part. What has God given you to do? What's the section of the wall that God's given you? What is it? Find it. Do it. Number one, there's a place for all of God's children. Number two, leaders must set the example. Number three, some will not do it. Some will not do it. Look at verse number five. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. Notice this. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. What's that mean? Notice in this verse how the nobles of the Tekoites refused to put their efforts in the work of God. The Word of God does not tell us any reason as to why they refused to work. It doesn't tell us. We can speculate, but I don't like to speculate. You see what I'm saying? I do every now and then, but that doesn't make it Bible. However, we see that they would not help in this work. Now get it. Of their Lord. Look at verse 5. It says, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. This is the work of their God. This is the work of their Lord. And yet they refuse to do anything in it. What a sad commentary on their life. Sam Ewing said this. This is tremendous. Listen to this statement closely. Hard work spotlights the character of people. Some turn up their sleeves. Some turn up their noses. And some don't turn up at all. That happens in church work too. Let me ask you a question. You think we have a good church here? Amen. Godly church. It's going to stay that way too. Would you be surprised if I told you that in my opinion, probably 3/4 of the church do nothing? Now, if a quarter, now this is just an estimate, you understand? This is an estimate. I hope I'm wrong. It's not like I've gone down through the things. If she's doing something, he's not. I don't do that. I let the Lord point out things. You see what I'm saying? But could you imagine with the church the way we have it, if let me be generous. Let me say 50% of the church is working. Let me just be generous. Let's say 50% is. And we have a church like this. What kind of a church would we have if 100% was doing it? 75% was doing it. 80% was doing it. 55% was doing it. Well, if you will get up and do something for God, if you're not, it'll make a difference in this church. It really will. It really will. But let me say this in the same way, just like these priests, these nobles of the Tekoites would not work, in the same way, there are those in this life who know exactly what God wants them to do. They already know what God wants them to do, but they refuse to do it. They refuse to do it. They will not live in obedience to His call. Even in this church, with the great work of God of reaching others with the gospel, there are some who will not help in this. And by the way, that's between them and God. That's between them and the Lord. But I challenge the people of this church not to be like the nobles in verse 5. I challenge you to get up and do something for the Lord. Help us reach others for the glory of God. You say, Jody, I don't know what I can do. then just be patient, wait, because that's part of my duty. That's part of my job. I'm like Nehemiah. Nehemiah cast the vision. Nehemiah said, let's do this and this, and let's divide it into this group and this group and this. That was Nehemiah. Nehemiah shared the vision. They were just willing to say, wait a minute, I can do something. And if he'll show me what to do, I'll do it. I had a dear lady come to me last week, and she said, Jody, she said, I just want you to know, wherever you can use me, I'm available. That's what I'm talking about. I told her, I said, just be patient. I said, I'm getting ready to share some things with the church about our new soul winning ministry. I'm talking about just adding to what we already have. And there's something in it for you. Just be patient. And then when you see it, God will speak to your heart and say, wait a minute, there's my part of the wall. Oh, I never thought of that. Yes, I can do that. Sure. And then look at that part of the wall. Don't look to this one or that. Just look at your part of the wall and do it the best you can with your talents, your gifts. And as you do that, and this one does that, and this one does that, before you know it, the entire wall is being constructed. Just everybody seeing their part, doing their part, using their gifts, using their talents. What? I'm saying, don't be like the nobles who were just skeptical. Say, I'm not going to put my work into that. I know it's a good thing, but I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to sit back and wait how it works first. I'm going to see how this goes. That young preacher up there, good night, he must have some Energizer batteries in his back somewhere up there. He's just crazy. Let's just give him time, and maybe 6 weeks from now he'll be simmered down. God help me not to simmer down. Amen. I choose to believe that this church could reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I choose to believe that this church can help reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the only way it'll happen is if every person says, wait a minute, God has saved me for a purpose. God has gifted me, somehow he's gifted me, to reach people. And I will find my part of the wall, and I will devote my life to building that part of the wall. Do you see it? Do you see it? That's number three. Some will not work. Number four, some do more than expected. We see this in verses 11, 21, 27, and 30. Now, as we've seen in verse number 5, the nobles who did not work were of what group of people? Verse 5. The Tekoites, right? The nobles of the Tekoites. But notice down in verse number 27 that the Tekoites, the nobles were part of them, not only built their part, but they repaired another piece. Look at that, verse number 27. Look at it. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even on the wall of Ophel. This is a beautiful thought. Now, Meshulam, Meremoth, and others mentioned throughout the chapter, it's mentioned about them that they also repaired other sections. In other words, they repaired their piece of the wall. Then when it was done, they went over and made themselves available and said, give me another piece. Beautiful. This goes to share some things with you that I hope will be a blessing to you. First of all, under this. This is all under some will do more than expected. Number one, under this. When some do not work, others have to pick up the slack. Because again, remember that the Tekoites in verse number 5 had nobles that we just preached on. Some will not work. These nobles were of the Tekoites. So when the nobles did not do their job, what did it do to the Tekoites? It added a burden to them. Do you see that? It made them do double work. Now what's the picture there? The picture there is this. The wall needs to be built. And if you don't do your part, you're selfish. Because somebody's going to have to do it. Or the wall's not going to be a hill of beans. Let me tell you why. Because every part of the wall is important. Because if one person did not show up to do their part of the wall, where do you think the enemy would attack the city? Where the wall wasn't put up. Right or wrong, folks? Right. So if you don't do your part of the wall, somebody's going to have to do it. That's the first thing we learn of this, that some do more than expected. Why? Because when some don't work, others have to pick up the slack. Let me give you a second thought on this. You can serve God no matter what others do. Because again, who were the nobles part of? The Tekoites? What's it say about the Tekoites whenever the nobles say, I'm not going to work on that? Does it say they said, okay, if you're not getting involved, I'm not either? You're our nobles. If you don't do it, why should we do it? You don't see that in that chapter. You see the Tekoites saying this, I don't care if they do it or not. I've got something for God to do, and if they don't do it, it's not going to stop me from doing it. Amen. Which means you can serve God no matter what anybody else does. Then number three, this is all under this. Hope I'm not losing you. Number three, this is all under some do more than expected. They do more than expected because number one, when some don't work, others must pick up the slack. Number two, some do more than expected because they realize that even though somebody else doesn't do it, they can still do it. Then number three, why don't you determine to be a second mile Christian? What that means is this. This simply means that the Tekoites, when they finished their part of the wall, they could have stopped. They had done their part. They had done their assignment. But instead of stopping, they said, wait a minute. Let's go do another piece, boys. That is so great to me. That tells me that they were going the extra mile. In the same way, be a child of God who is known for going above and beyond the call of duty. God wants His children to be children that just do not get by. Like, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do that. Great, that's wonderful. That's your duty. You ought to, in other words, there are some of God's children who say, tell me how many steps to take. Now, I'm spiritualizing some things here. Just trying to give an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. Show me how many steps you want. Take two steps and that's all you need to take. One, two, I'm done. I've done my duty. It's over. My conscience is clear. You know what God wants you to be? You've told me to take two. One, two. I think I'll just take two more. One, two, there's four. God wants you to go beyond the call of duty. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus did that for you? Remember what the Bible said in the Garden of Gethsemane? It says, and when he went a little further, he fell on his face. Scott Pauley preaches a message. Godly man, we've had him here. On he went a little further. He went a little further in Gethsemane. He went a little further when he got to Golgotha. They put him in the grave, but he went a little further than that. Now he's in glory. And what I'm saying to you, we serve a Savior who has gone the second mile for us. And we see the Tekoites here. They said, I know I've done my duty. I know I've finished my section. But is there another one that we can get involved in? Matthew 5:41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Number one, today, we're looking at these principles. All of God's children can get involved. Number two, leaders must set the example. Number three, some will not work. Number four, some will do more than expected. And under that, we saw three lessons we can learn from doing more than expected. When some do not work, it puts added pressure on others to pick up the slack. You can serve God no matter what anybody else does. You ought to determine to be a second mile Christian. But perhaps this might be the most powerful lesson I'm going to give you this morning. It's found in verses 3 and 12. I want you to see if you see anything. Look at verse number 3. The fish gate did the sons of Hasenaiah build. Also laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Look at verse 12. Next unto him repaired Shallum, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half of part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. You see anything between those two verses? The sons of Hasenaiah, and he and his daughters. Here's principle number 5. We stop here this morning. Doesn't mean you're stopping. Doesn't mean you're closing your Bible, because I'm not through yet. But principle number 5 about the work of God is this. The work of God is for the entire family. It's for the whole family. Notice in these verses how the family was involved in the work of God. This is a beautiful sight to imagine in our minds. If we could go back in this day and literally sit back and watch them building the walls, we would see the sons of Hasenaiah building the fish gate. Then we would see Shallum and his daughters working together on their part of the wall. And this goes to show that this was a work for the family. You know, in the same way, we need to recognize the fact. Now listen to me, please. That the work of God is something for the family to be involved in together. Together. It's time that parents see their responsibility and their opportunity to be involved in God's work and have their children involved with them. Whether it's serving on a bus route, whether it be visiting shut-ins, whether it be visiting nursing homes, going door to door, have your family involved. I'm trying to set the example in this. My wife was scared to death when I asked her, and she'll kill me for saying this probably, but she was scared to death when I asked her to teach Mrs. Lashley's class for 2 weeks. I told our secretaries, I said, she's not going to like it. She's not going to do it. And I went home, she was scared to death. But last week I was shared with, and I'm sure I'll be shared again today, she does a wonderful job teaching. It's just who she is. My boy Judson. Now, Jalen, I wouldn't take her out with me right now to save my life. I'm crying out loud. She's not 2 years old yet, but she is a good. How many of y'all have seen that she is a wild one? Would you be honest? Be honest, be wild. Be honest, be wild. I mean, be honest. Oh, Natalie! Over our way with her hand like this, you know. What am I saying? Every now and then I'll take Judson out soul winning with me. Why am I doing that? Because it's good for him, that's why. It's good for him to be around his daddy, I think, right? I know I set myself up there, you know. It is good for him to be around his daddy. It's good fellowship for us. And it's good for him to be involved in the work of God. It's for the family. Have y'all have children? Would you raise your hand if you have children? Yes. Are you listening to me? One of the greatest things you can do for your kids is get involved in God's work and bring them with you. I'm a simple preacher. Can you tell that by now? If you can't understand me, there's problems. And all I'm saying to you is God's work has principles. And what a principle that is. It is a work for the family to do. You know what I'd love to see? I say this and I'm slowly coming to a close, but I would love to see whenever we call church-wide soul winning or have a special push. Now, by the way, you can apply this to your home, any kind of work of God, but I'm saying since I'm the pastor of this church, I'm trying to apply this book of Nehemiah to the work of the church, reaching other people, building that wall. I would love to see that when teenagers have SOS on Saturday, that the parents not only bring them, the parents stay with them and go with them. Not too many amens there. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest things you can do for your teenager is bring them to soul winning and go with them. Amen. It's a work for the family. Get your family involved. How do you get your children involved? You get involved. And as you're involved, bring them with you. What a beautiful picture the book of Nehemiah is. Isn't it? It's a wonderful book, isn't it? Wonderful book. And I hope that this has helped you today. Let's all bow our heads together and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been sharing some principles about the Word of God and the work of God and what principles they are. The five we've shared is that all of God's children can get, not that all will, but all can. Leaders must set the example. Some will not work. Others will do more than expected, and it's a work for the family. Father, take the message. Use it in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. She's playing through softly. I want to deal with you there in your seat quietly. May I say something to you that you cannot get involved in the work of God unless, first of all, you're in the family of God. You must know for sure that heaven is your home. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, This message is not for you. This message is for God's children to get involved in the work of God. But you understand the work of God. Remember last week, it starts and ends with the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you cannot get involved in the work of God the way God wants you to, because you're not even in His family. Have you know for sure that heaven is your home? You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. You are a Christian. You are saved. You are born again. Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. If you raise your hand to that, God bless you. I'll talk to you in just a moment. But is there somebody here today and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that? I'm being honest with God, and I cannot honestly raise my hand and say, I know I'm a child of God. I know I am. I cannot say that. Maybe you're doubting, or maybe you know in your heart that you are not a Christian, but you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that. Would you be honest right now? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. If you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand, be an honest person right now. Would you raise it right now? Put it right back down. Anybody like that? I'm looking. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? Put your hand right up, put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else along with this one? Anybody at all? Now let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm saved. I'm God's child. And you're telling me that there's a place for me. And if you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, you're telling me that no matter what God has gifted me to do, He's gifted me to do it to reach people. Here's the way I want to ask this question. I'm not asking, are you involved? I'm asking, are you willing? Are you willing that if God shows you what He's gifted you to do, are you willing that if He'll show you how you can use your talents for the Lord? If you say right now, I am willing, if He'll show me what part of the wall to do, if He will show me what part of the wall is for me, what section He wants me to prepare, what section He wants me to build, not everybody's section, just mine, if He'll show me through my vocation, through my talents, through your vision, Pastor, whatever, if He'll show me what part of the wall to build, I'll build it. I'll give it my best shot. Have you sitting there as God's child? You say, Jody, if God will show me, you're telling me that I can get involved, and if God will show me what it is, by His help, I'll do it. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? You say, Jody, if He'll show me, I'll do it. If He'll show me, I'll do it. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it and I want you to look at me just a moment. The reason I have you look at me is because it's an overwhelming majority of you. You can put your hands down. If you mean this, in the work of this church, it's partly my responsibility to share some of these different pieces of the wall. That's my duty. God's going to give me vision and say, here's the different sections of the wall. Bang, 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 bang. But as I give them out, God will prick your heart and say, there it is. There it is. Are you following me, what I'm saying? He'll say, there it is. And at that time, He has helped you and gifted you, even when you don't think He has, to build that part of the wall. Just be open. You might not even know what part of the wall it is. That's fine, not a problem. But in the very near future, and for the work of this church, now not your family, but for the work of this church, you're going to know what the sections of the wall are. And if you really mean it, this crowd that's looking at me right now saying, I'm willing for this, if you really mean business with God, there is no telling what's going to happen in this church. There's no telling. Brother Gary, I'm excited about it. There's no telling what's going to happen. You know how it works? Get your eyes off of the wall. The entire wall. But look at that work. Oh, no. Find the one section God has given you and focus on it and build it with all your heart. You see it? I hope you mean it. I'm going to ask those who feel like they want to come. I'm not asking everybody to come. But if you really feel like God would have you come and commit yourself to this, some of you can do it at your seat. I understand that. But if you really feel like the Lord is in you coming and making a commitment, I want you to do that. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
Father, take it and use it in a mighty way. Use it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you've made a profession of faith this week, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, now's your time. If you need to rededicate your life, whatever the case may be, now's your time. And if you're here today and you say, Jody, this is what I need. I want to commit myself. If God will show me, I'll do it. I'm going to have you to respond, asking the Lord to help you. I'm going to ask you one final question, and then I'm going to draw the net. Have you say, Jody, I'm either involved or I'm not involved, but God's speaking to me about getting my family involved. It needs to be the family. And God's speaking to me in that area. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? It's the family. God, help you. Why don't you bring your family? So let's go pray. Father, take it. Bless it, please. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Now's your time to come, please.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Maybe God's dealing with you to come forward. I'd like you to look this way. A host of you raised your hand saying that if He'll show you, you'll do it. And you don't have to come forward to make that commitment. I know that. But I want to extend that to you, that if that's what you feel like the Lord have you to do, I want you to come. And I hope you mean it. I hope you really mean it. Just stay willing, stay open. May the Lord help you with this. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. God is working. God is moving. We're preparing for the future. Can you tell that by the way I'm preaching? We're preparing. Preparing. And there's no telling what's going to happen if we let the Lord have His way. You know how it works? You say, I'm willing. God, take me, use me, whatever. And I do that, and you do that, and she does that, and he does that, and she does that. Hey, there's no telling what will happen when God is allowed to have His way in our life. Amen? No doubt about it. You can be seated just for a moment. I don't want you to lock your knees and pass out on us, you know. Or dealing with people. I don't want to give them time for this. But let me just talk to you just a moment. Just giving people time here. We're just about through. I went home and I told my wife this week, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm telling you basically what I told her. That I want the Lord to have all of my life. I want Him to exhaust Himself in me. Now, He can't exhaust Himself, you understand? But He can exhaust me. And what I mean by that is I want the Lord to have everything He wants. And in this church, I am wanting the Lord to do whatever He wants to do. I mean it. If He'll show us what to do, we'll do it. He knows I mean that. I was talking to Brother Paul Pritchard this week, and he said, Jody, he said, you know, sometimes following God is going against the grain. Some people may not even understand what's going on in your heart. But he said, if God's in it, do it. And I'm going to tell you something, I mean it. God's worked in my heart in such a way, I don't care what He tells me to do. If He's in it, I'm going to do it. Amen. I mean it. Boy, this is a beautiful lady right here, isn't it? Beautiful. God's been good to me. Amen. Stacy Whitaker, if you don't mind to stand. Michael, you can stand with her there. My wife can stand. Stacy and Michael, I believe the Lord is working in their heart. They came this week for premarital counseling. And I always deal with salvation. If you come to me, I'm going to ask if you're saved. We always start there.
Michael says he's trusted the Lord, and Stacy couldn't say that. God got a hold of you, didn't he? I went through the gospel with her. She was weeping. I asked her if she wanted to trust the Lord as her Savior, and she said yes. She bowed her head in my office, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. This is the starting point. I'm so thrilled for you. God's working in your heart. No doubt about it. They're scared to death to be standing here. I told them I'd do all the talking. Have you all think I can talk? Would you raise your hand? It's amazing. I'm a stutterer, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Sure. Better be glad I didn't stutter. My sermons would be twice as long as they are. God bless you. She wants to join the church by baptism. And we'll talk to you about baptism and schedule a baptismal service very soon. What's the pleasure of the church in this? She's wanting to join the church. Brother Butler, second. Brother Bowman, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So, Carrie, God bless you. We're thrilled you're here. And Michael's coming today. And Michael's rededicating his life to the Lord. And I look you right in the face, and I'm telling you before this church that I love you. And I've told you to your face, you give your life to Jesus, you can turn this world right side up. I hope you mean this. I think you do. God's working in your heart. Are you happy for him? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Isn't this great? Wonderful. Wonderful. You may be seated. God bless you. You don't mind us taking time for this, do you? Amen. I'm going to have Rachel and is it Adriana? Is that correct? This is a mother and daughter, correct? Very good. The mother, which is Rachel, is desiring membership in our church by statement. Her little girl here, Adriana, is coming today. And the best you know how, you're trusting Christ as your Savior. Am I right? So you have just asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sin. How old is she? She's 10 years old. You're a beautiful little girl. The Lord Jesus Christ would have left heaven just for you. She desires membership by baptism. We're going to talk to you about baptism, make sure there's no, you know, we don't want to confuse you. So you're going to heaven whether you're ever baptized now or not. Amen. We want to talk to you about these things. What's the pleasure of the church on these two coming to join the church? Could I get a first? Brother Butler, God bless you, sir. Brother Trent, second. All in favor, raise your hand high and say aye. All opposed, same sign. So carry. And then in our children's churches, I don't see, God bless you, may be seated. In our children's churches, I don't see the children in here. We have, looks like one, two, three, four. We have two that's marked here that they've trusted Christ as their Savior. And we have three that doesn't have anything marked, but they've done something. So I guess that these are probably five salvations. Whether it is or not, whatever it is, God's in it. We're thrilled. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? We give God all the glory. Let's all stand together, please. I'm going to ask them just to remain up here at the front. Our people, I want you to come by and greet them, talk to them, let them know you're thrilled for their decisions. If you're a first-time guest, let me remind you, take your card out to the back. There's a welcome center. Brother Gary and his wife will be there. Drop that card off. We've got a special gift just for you, just for saying thank you for being in our service today. Amen. Outstanding. Very, very, very good. Mr. John Potter, sir, if you don't mind to lift your voice and ask the Lord to be with us today, please.